The past couple of lessons on Sunday evenings, we focused on why Darwin's theory of evolution is false. And the science actually proves that it's just utter nonsense. But mankind will always seek to know where he and she came from. The origin question. That has to be settled. Why? Because we have to have purpose and meaning in life for it to be fulfilling. If Darwin's theory is right, think about this, purpose and meaning are non-existent. We're left with frustration and weakness and futility, especially on the tough days. No one can have courage and confidence and trust as they face death without meaning and purpose for life. And so mankind always finds himself dealing with the most basic of questions. Does God exist? Can you imagine how many books have been written to answer that question? The fact is, we understand you cannot prove that God exists like you would prove that Gail Frederick exists or anyone else exists. To concretely prove that God exists would eliminate the need for faith. We'd no longer have to have faith that he exists if we could concretely prove it. We know that followers of God must walk by faith and not by sight. However, to walk by faith doesn't mean that you just park your brain and reject all logic. To say that you cannot prove that God exists does not mean that it's unreasonable to believe in him. Because there's so much evidence that exists for confirming that God, in fact, does exist. And by definition, faith is based on evidence. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so there is evidence of things we can't see. This evening, we're going to discuss one reason. This sermon has one point. Are y'all glad? One reason why you should believe in God. It is true. God cannot be seen in a test tube. He cannot be trapped in a cage. He cannot be put on public display because he is spirit, not flesh. And so he exists in another form that we have trouble wrapping our heads around. His thoughts and his ways are different than ours. And so we even struggle to think like he thinks. But we must and we can believe in him with all our heart. If I ask you for your reason believing in God, what would you say? I'm confident you didn't become a Christian without having a good reason to believe that God is. If you had no Bible, if you had never been taught by a Bible teacher, you had no formal understanding of God, would it seem ridiculous to believe that there is a God? The answer to that question is no. It wouldn't seem ridiculous. As you study history, all civilizations, except those who became so educated, all civilizations served and worshiped some kind of higher power. Why? Why would they believe that there is a higher power? It's because God created us with an innate knowledge that there's a higher power. And so tonight we're just going to get practical. Tonight we're going to focus again on one reason to believe in Jehovah God, and that is because of the universe. It's significant that the inspired writers of the Bible turn to the universe as clear-cut evidence that God does exist. Psalm 19:1, David writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." In your mind's eye, can't you see that young shepherd boy at night laying there with his sheep in the field, looking up at the Milky Way? And what comes to his mind? This is the handiwork of God. And all of this declares the glory of God. Paul makes it clear in his letter to the Romans that everyone should recognize God's evidence by simply viewing the handiwork of God. Romans 1, verse 18. By the way, in the context here, he's pointing out that the Gentiles have no excuse for not being faithful to God. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." God has shown it to them. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Did you notice? What may be known of God, God had shown it to them. And so His invisible attributes are clearly seen by the things that are made. What were the attributes that are clearly seen? Well, that He's all powerful. His eternal power. And the fact that He is divine. A higher power. God. And they knew God. With this understanding, they knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. Bottom line, they had all the evidence they needed by just seeing the evidence of the things that were made. The existence of our universe reveals an all-powerful Creator. Take a look at the immense size of the earth. You and I, if you seen that picture they took orbiting the moon of the earth? All mankind that had ever existed, except the one taking the picture, was reflected there. We are but a tiny little speck on this planet, the surface of this planet. A trip around the earth at the equator, 24,928 miles. That adds up to about 50 million steps of walking. Or 3 years of continuous, nonstop walking. And then there's the sun, and its size overwhelms our planet. The sun, in fact, is 109 times larger than the earth. That means you could line up 109 earths around the equator of the sun. But the volume of the sun is 1,304,000 times as great as the earth. And on the earth, every blade of grass, every leaf, every animal, every human being depends on the sun. And yet the sun, the earth only receives 2 billionths of the light coming and the heat and the energy coming from the sun. Sounds like somebody may have designed that. The immense distances of space are overwhelming. The sun is 92 million miles away. That's what equal, I read, 4,000 trips around the earth. But Sirius is 50 million million miles away, or 600,000 times as far as the sun. The distance to most stars are measured in light years. And light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Which means in 1 second, light will travel 7.5 times around the earth. And so the light you see from stars, if it's 100 light years away, that light has traveled an immense distance. The number of heavenly bodies amazes us. And as we put more and more telescopes in space, we're learning more and more about the number of heavenly bodies. Our solar system is composed of a sun and 8 planets, since they decided that Pluto doesn't qualify. But there are 350 million solar stars with the suns, planets, and satellites in our galaxy alone. Scientists will not even guess how many galaxies are beyond ours. But again, the telescopes are showing that there's not just hundreds or thousands, but millions and most likely billions of other galaxies that can be seen. And so where did all this come from? There are at least 3 possibilities. It could have just sprung from nothing. And of course, that would be completely illogical. We understand you can't make anything from nothing in our physical universe. Or secondly, some claim that the universe is eternal. It's always been here, always will be here. But there's a scientific problem with that. There are 3 laws of thermodynamics. I'm about to tell you more than I know about this. They define physical quantities that characterize thermodynamic systems at thermal equilibrium. Y'all got that? These laws describe how these qualities or quantities behave under various circumstances and preclude the possibility of certain phenomena happening. For instance, like perpetual motion. Now, one of those laws, the second law of thermodynamics, it's a little more simple. It states that the universe is running down. In other words, it's expending energy. It's running out of energy. In other words, the universe, for this to be true, had to have a beginning at some point in time, or the beginning of time. And since the creation of the universe, it is slowly running out of energy, fuel. Which means at some point it'll end. But if the universe is eternal, well, when and where did life begin? And more importantly, how did it begin? It's completely illogical, as we've seen in other lessons, scientifically impossible for life to come from dead matter. Life can't be eternal. It had to begin somewhere. And to believe that a theory that teaches us that all living things, as we know living things, came from one cell, boy, you got to have some faith to believe that. You got to take a blind leap of faith to believe that. Now, the second possibility is that the earth, the universe is eternal. But even science contradicts that. The third possibility of where everything come from is, guess what? God made it. He created it. The scriptures say, in the beginning, God created. And that word created there in the original language is bara, the Hebrew word. It means to make something out of nothing. It's unlike the word that was used when God made Adam and he took the dust of the earth and formed it. This word, God created the heavens and the earth, means he made it from nothing. Psalm 95, verse 5, the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Acts 17, Paul's on Mars Hill, and he says, God, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And then Colossians 1:16, this may be my favorite one. For by him, speaking of Christ, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Think of the precision of creation. How orderly it is. Isaiah, in Isaiah 40 verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now he's making the point, creation is way beyond us. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span. And calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who did it? Who can do any of this? God. The universe is orderly. Everything is so precise. It has design. The scientific laws of nature are constant. They're exact. They're predictable. A spacecraft can enter Earth's atmosphere, but it has to enter at a certain angle, a correct angle. If it's too steep, it burns up. If it's not steep enough, if it's too shallow of an approach, it'll bounce off the universe right out into space. And the scientists know that this isn't guesswork. Every time they send something into space, they're going to have to figure this out again. They know the correct angle of entering our atmosphere never changes. It's constant. Many of you remember Halley's Comet. All of us should. We don't have any youngsters in here. It appeared in 1986. And Halley's Comet is in a set orbit around the sun, traveling 26 miles per second. It was first recorded by a man named Edmund Halley. So it's Halley's Comet. He discovered that comet in 1682. And it's been seen since in 1758, 1835, 1910, in 1986. And because the laws of nature are so exact, we know exactly what year it's going to return. And probably none of us are going to be here to see it. 2062. Do you understand that only an all-powerful God could have set this all into motion? Instead of total chaos in our universe, we have complete predictability. One thing is certain. It takes an intelligent creator to do this. The human body is composed of individual living cells. There are more cells in your body than there are people on the planet of the earth. And so what's the body composed of? Well, 200 bones, 500 muscles, with 1,000 ligaments holding them together. 10,000 nerves, 10,000 veins and arteries, and then 100,000 glands. And all of that is wrapped in a skin that has a million pores. And all of those individual cells, every one of those cells in your body has a design manual written within it called DNA. DNA tells the cells what they're to do. And they individually know what part of the body they will assist in either making or sustaining. This manual for life, DNA. Are you kidding me? DNA didn't happen through chaos. It could only happen with an intelligent designer with the power to create. Is it any wonder that David wrote Psalm 139:14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. I read one person said it would be easier to imagine a phone book resulting from an implosion or an explosion in a print shop. Imagine that. You have an explosion, and suddenly out of that explosion, you have a phone book that suddenly magically appears together. He says it would be easier to imagine that than our universe being a product of chance. And all the life on this earth being a product of just chance. We have a powerful creator, an intelligent creator. And the design of this universe reveals so much about him. Kindness and a desire to provide for us. Why was this universe created? Now, this is the amazing part to me. We're learning more and more about our universe. More and more about life here on Earth. In every form. And so why was it all created? It was created for the ones who were created in His image. Male and female. It was created to meet our needs, to provide everything we need. You simply can't logically explain this universe without concluding that God is. Tonight, if you need to come for any reason, please come now while we stand in this.